You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
We're starting to slowly get back into sports stuff, right? NHLPA votes to approve the new deal. Now, I guess they got to figure out the parameters of it, when they're going to play, how it's going to work. But that has been approved last night, late last night. That got pushed through. So now we wait. Long weekend, 3 days. Not good weather today, mind you. So you lock yourself inside. Easy to socially distance yourself. And then tomorrow, Monday, supposed to be nicer. And then we get into the last week of May. And then next Monday, guys, we hit June. So a lot going on for us. Big golf match this weekend. Going to turn out a little Bundesliga at 9:30. Something you thought you'd never say. I mean, if you're playing it, I'm willing to watch it at this point. The Lance Armstrong 30 for 30 tomorrow night. I stand by this, and I've said this before, and this is not Rothenberg company guy, because I'm a company guy, but I'm not like rah-rah about things. 30 for 30, best thing ESPN does. Really, they're great. I think I've watched every single one. There's been maybe one or two that I didn't thoroughly enjoy. All the others, outstanding. Outstanding. Tomorrow night, Lance, and we got one on McGuire and Sosa coming up, one on Bruce Lee, which should be interesting. So it's terrific. It really takes you away from everything going on. 800-919-3776. Obviously, we're going to get into Jamal Adams. That's a big story. It's a confusing story to me. I don't know why the Jets. See, to me, the Jets are in control. But I think it was two things that you probably could do reasonably to keep this guy happy. And one is trade him, and two is sign him. And it doesn't sound like either thing is imminent right now for the Jets and Jamal Adams. So we'll get into that in a couple moments. You know, it feels like, and I think we are, taking steps in the right direction. And youth sports in Florida fully reopened. And we talk about restarting games and when might we potentially be able to go back to stadiums and all that stuff. And I'm very hesitant, but we're cautious and aware of all these things. And then you have something like yesterday that happens, which really is a punch in the face because – I mean, we all know someone, and some more than others, that are affected with what's going on, right? But there's nobody that doesn't know someone that has dealt with COVID or had someone pass away from COVID or had some interaction with this horrific disease at some point in the last couple of months. So we're obviously raw to it. We're obviously very aware of it. And then last night you find out that Patrick Ewing. See, when it's someone that you feel this tremendous connection to, it kind of takes that different turn, at least for me. I think most people, that's what it does. And that's why, you know, like the death of Kobe Bryant was so extreme for all of us. We didn't know Kobe Bryant. You knew of Kobe. You've watched Kobe. But 99 out of, you know, forget about 99, not, you know, 999,000 out of every million. We didn't know Kobe Bryant. Nobody knew Kobe Bryant. But you feel this connection to the athlete. And last night, we're hanging out at my house and my family, and I read on Twitter that Patrick Ewing has COVID-19, and you're like, oh. And you have that kind of exhale of, oh, and what real life this is. And again, I'm not taking a side here. I'm not saying we should or shouldn't be going out, and I have my feelings on that. We can get into that a little bit later as well. But when the Patrick Ewings of the world come down with this, and you start to think, oh, it hits home. It does. Because we have this unbreakable bond with our athletes. Right? That's why we love sports so much, because you feel connected to them. I mean, it almost doesn't even make sense that you feel this connection over people that don't even have any idea who you are. But we do. And we feel that connection. And you feel that connection with Patrick Ewing. And you could argue that he's the greatest Nick of all time. And if he's not the greatest Nick of all time, then he's certainly top three. I forget about top five, top three. And now he comes down with this horrific disease. And he tweeted out, and there was a statement from Georgetown, and how he's going to be okay, and he's hospitalized now. And people say, well, Patrick Ewing is overweight, but Patrick Ewing is, you know, a man in his 50s. He's not an old man. So it hits home, and it's concerning. And I'm not saying to not attempt to safely go about your life again. I'm just saying it brings you back to real life every time you try and take another step forward. So obviously, that's a discussion point we can get into as the show goes on. 800-919-3776. Rich Kleiman gonna join us at 11 o'clock this morning. I don't know, and we'll ask Rich. if he really pushed to get back on the air with me, I think it is possibly what happened. And we'll bring Ty in a couple minutes to break that down as well. But I think so. Because it was asked to me this week, would you like to have Rich on again? I said, yes, I would. I enjoyed him very much. You know, the thing about Rich is, of course, he's KD's business manager, has a production company on his own, really, really talented guy. The thing about him is, he's actually a big sports fan. He said, come on, we're all big sports fans. I can't tell you how many people, since I've been doing sports talk radio, I've had to co-host with, and at the end of the segment, the hour, the show, whatever, I'm like, oh, my God, awful. It's awful. This person doesn't know sports. They can't sit there and talk sports with you. You have to baby them every step of the way. Rich not like that. So I enjoyed the conversation 2 weeks ago. We'll enjoy it today for half an hour from 11 to 11:30. All right, let's get into this Jamal Adams. I know everyone has their different opinion on it. Here's my take. Here's my opinion. We can get to yours as well, 800-919-3776. And then there's this debate going on. I guess it was prompted at this station of who, in fact, is the greatest player, Tom Brady or Michael Jordan. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but we'll spend a couple minutes on that in the coming segments as well. But let's start with Jamal Adams and where we are with that. So here's the thing. It comes as no surprise, right? Like, you'd almost be foolish not to have expected for us to get here at some point in the not-so-distant future or present. Jamal Adams is very outspoken. And Jamal Adams told you last year he wants a new deal heading into this season. And for whatever reason, either because they don't have to or because he's not their guy or whatever the case may be, the Jets brass, and perfectly rightfully so, feels hesitant and appears not on the verge of signing Jamal Adams to a long-term deal heading into year four, where you don't have to. Now, his only recourse is to sit out. And I guess the question has to be, how long does that play for? But here's my confusion with the whole thing. Because Gary Myers reports, and you see other reports, well, maybe they're going to start to look to shop him again. If you had the opportunity to trade him, heading into the draft, improving your team, adding one or more picks to this past draft, and you let that go by, and now you trade him before this season, heading into next year's draft, and don't have him for this year, what are you doing? And again, I think that Joe Douglas is smart. So I think, and the report seemed to be surrounding this as well, I think that this deal does get done at some point, but I don't think now. I think he's going to be forced to play, and let's be fair. And we've said this many times, as far as the most important positions in the NFL, safety is not one of them. So I really think, and I think this is going to get ugly. And Rich Cimini joined us yesterday and said, this is going to get ugly. The Jets are not going to cave, and neither is the player. So you're going to, I mean, if we start the season on September 13th and the Jets go up to Buffalo, will you have a fully prepared Jamal Adams, or will you have a guy that just showed up 2 days earlier? Or will you have a guy that plays chicken to the point that he doesn't show up? Now, I don't know that that happens, but you're a safety. You're not a quarterback. I mean, look, you got Dak Prescott in Dallas can't get paid. Earl Thomas didn't get paid. I don't know that we get to September and all of a sudden Joe Douglas and team decide, you know what, we need to pay this guy. And the problem with Jamal Adams, and I think he's a terrific player, and you'd be foolish to fight that, he has shown that he can be difficult. You know, he's made comments in the past, and I think he's desperate to win, but he's made comments. What did he say last year? I'm not used to this losing. Like, you're not part of it. Like, you're not involved in it. This is your team. You're involved in it. You may not be used to it, but you're fully entrenched in it now. So I don't know what direction this goes in. And I've said this before, and I think for the most part, the Jets fan looks at Jamal Adams and says, yeah, I got to sign him. You got to bring him back. This is an absolute no-brainer. And I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that at all. I feel like this is a lot of thought. Because the highest paid safety is Eddie Jackson, and he's getting over $15 million a year. I mean, listen, if it was sign him to a four-year, $20 million deal and be done with it and wash your hands, of course you want Jamal Adams on your team, running your secondary. But do I want to go 5 years? I don't know. $90 million? for Jamal Adams? And the answer is no. And I've said that from the jump. Look, here's the question for you. Would you rather have Mekhi Becton and Jamal Adams at a big number, which it's going to be sooner or later, that's going to happen, or would you rather have Mekhi Becton and CeeDee Lamb on a rookie contract, and then you spend that money elsewhere? I don't know. I think it's pretty close. I think I'd probably sway in the side of I'd rather have had that 17th pick from the Cowboys. And now you hear, well, maybe the Cowboys would give a 1 and a 3, you know, for next year's draft. Yeah, but you know what? That's not the same value anymore. And that ship is at sail. And now I'm going to, so let me see if I get this straight. This doesn't add up to me. I'm going to trade him, let Dallas get the year of him, and not get anything in return until after the season? No. So now I really, it feels like I only have two choices. I sign him, or I play this game of, you're going to be on my team this year. You're not going to get paid this year. You better make a decision. So my best player, second best player, top five player is going to be disgruntled, and I know it. I don't know. I don't love the sound of that. And I think Joe Douglas probably has a plan in place. I think Joe Douglas is a smart guy. I like the signing of Flacco. I saw a lot of, 35-year-old quarterback and coming off neck surgery. And your other option is David Fales. So you're telling me you'd rather have David Fales, a guy that lived up to his name last year, over Joe Flacco? No. The answer is obvious. Hopefully you don't have to see him. He's a professional. He's experienced. He's danced the dance. He's won the whole thing. He's had one of the greatest postseason runs in the history of the game. No. It's a good signing. Smart. Is it great? I saw both sides. Twitter's a weird place, huh? Twitter's a really weird place because you see both sides of the of any situation. I see, what a brilliant signing. I don't look at it as a brilliant signing. Oh, what an awful signing. This guy's garbage. No. It's fine. It's a smart insurance policy. God forbid Darnold goes down again. And if he goes down again, you got real issues on your hand. Not that you can't win a game or two with this quarterback in Flacco, but if you have another year of Darnold missing time, significant time, what you have is an injury-prone quarterback on your hands after 3 years. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get to your calls. Here's a question for you. Are you watching this golf this weekend? Tiger, Phil, Tom, Peyton? Like, is that, 'cause it's supposed to be nice tomorrow. Is that I'm locked away watching it? Is that I'll keep an eye on what's going on with the golfers at night? You know what? I'll tape it and I'll watch it later. Or is that no?
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Big pressure on all of us, right? To see if we can socially distance ourselves and wear our masks and be smart and try to continue to curb the spread of this horrific disease and move forward and stay healthy and get healthy and move into, right, the next phases in whatever states we're in listening to the show right now. 800-919-3776. So this is typically the point of the show because I like to set the stage. I like to welcome you and, you know, almost like a verbal cup of coffee, have you put your feet up and drink it in. And then I like to, you know, hit you with the big shot at about 9:15, 9:20 and bring in who's slowly becoming the star of the show. And that is, of course, Ty D. Butler, Newhouse School of Communications. Good morning, Ty. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I've never been called a big shot before. So an excellent start to the morning.
I think it is evidence now more than ever in what happened last week with the whole follow-thon on Twitter. You have graduated. You have gotten to the point where you're out of my control now, and you have now kind of flown on your own. You're like a little birdie that I was nursing you for a while, and now it's like I got my own food. I got it.
I don't think so. I'm still learning under your tutelage. Again, very successful operation last week.
Yeah.
So shout out to you. Also, after the show, maybe a couple of hours later, the great Linda Cohn. Mm-hmm. She gave her shout out on Twitter as well. So
well,
really appreciate. She is one of the best people you'll ever meet. Nicest individuals. I've had the pleasure of working with her a couple of times on radio. I had to text her after that wonderful tweet she sent out. She's phenomenal.
Yeah. So, question for you. You're not a huge golf guy, are you?
Well, when Tiger's in it, absolutely.
All right, well, Tiger's in it. So I guess the question now is, are you, so it's from 3 to 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Which is a heavy commitment.
Which is extended on the Sunday Memorial Day.
Yes.
How involved will you be in this event tomorrow?
It will be on my television.
It will?
Yes. The problem for me, though, is my wife has plans of us going on a little bit of a walk.
That's nice.
Oh, no, it's great.
But here's the thing. There's no reason, if you guys have a walk planned, that it can't be done pre 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Which is true. We do have some house errands we've got to take care of, but 3 to 8, that is a heavy commitment.
That's a window. But I'll say this to you. If this was a doubleheader, Lakers Spurs followed by Celtics Bucks from 3 to 8, is there a question that a walk is taking place?
And it's also already built into our relationship. She knows that she comes second to a doubleheader of that sort. But what I will say, you don't even have to go basketball. If this was Tiger, you know, in a major.
So this is Tiger, you know, winning Sunday of the U.S. Open.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all in.
The walk goes out the window.
I am all in.
Is it the charity portion of it that turns you off?
It just... I almost said it doesn't mean anything because
is the exhibition factor?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's the fact that it's not counting toward any part of his legacy. If Tiger goes out there and wins tomorrow, it's not like Monday morning.
No, I think tomorrow's for fun.
Yeah, it's not like
tomorrow
Monday.
And the guys are going to be mic'd, so you're going to get to hear Tiger and you hear Phil and you'll hear Brady and you'll hear Peyton, and you know Peyton's really funny. I think it'll be entertaining. I don't know that the golf matters all that much as far as it's an escape and it's people you know. And we talked about the comfort level early on in the show. So I'm with you. I don't know that I'm going to sit there for 5 hours, but I will give it a glance. And as far as care who wins, I really don't very much.
What drives the conversation when it comes to golf about Tiger Woods is, you know, will he catch Jack Nicklaus? It's not like Monday morning we're having that conversation.
It's not happening.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not like Monday morning.
We won't get to Monday morning and start with, oh my God, you know, he's one closer to this heroic record, right? No, that does not happen.
So.
It's fun. I mean, it is what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to take your mind off of it. It's stress-free. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's, oh my God, some semblance of sports is actually back. And it's supposed to be enjoyable. You know, it's not supposed to be, oh my God, my heart was pounding as he walked up 17 at the Masters on the final day. It's supposed to be a fun event, and I think it probably will be. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's start out with James in Spring Valley. James, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. Quickly, Stump Rothenberg, like Big Steve says, is the best segment on all ESPN radio.
Really?
You will never change my mind on that. Absolutely.
Really? So you would fight, like with weapons, you would fight that anyone that wanted to, that's the best segment.
I will fight that to the death.
Okay.
I will fight it to the death. Second thing is I want to talk about this Jamal Adams situation. And it's more of a comment. I think Jamal Adams is handling this poorly, demanding contract extensions because the timing, especially in these times. I get that these athletes want to get paid, but if you look at the current climate of the world and now you want to be demanding money, I think he's handling this poorly. If I was him, I would just suit up, play this year, and then deal with your money in 2021. That's what I would do. I want to see what your comments on
that. So I tend to agree with you, James, but here's my question for you. God forbid Jamal Adams suffers a devastating knee injury this season. Then what?
Well, that is a good counter argument,
right? Because that's where you are now. That I mean, you know, he's a guy that I mean, you look at the amount of money he's going to make; it'll be north of $100 million in his career. If he suffers some kind of a catastrophic injury, that all goes out of the wayside. All goes.
I get it, and I'm sure it's from the player's side. They're thinking about long-term security because,
of course,
you get like a career-ending injury. But my only thing is the fact that. I think it's a bad optic, Dave. Like I said, the current climate, the people are losing jobs, people are on unemployment. I feel like that's that's kind of not the right time to make your contracts dispute public. I think that's what I'm trying to say. And that's all.
Well, I mean, to be fair for him, and thanks for the call, James, to be fair to him, he hasn't really made it public. Right? It's not like he's come out and made demands. Things have kind of leaked a little bit here and a little bit there from his side and the Jets side. So it's not like he's taken center stage and made it public. And look, I think, of course, this is what he wants. And I don't, this is not to me Blake Snell-ish, where Snell's saying, you know, I'm not playing unless I'm getting mine. This is more, I'm thinking about my future. So I don't look at it as, you know, optics of this are awful. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't look at that the way I look at the baseball players saying, we're not playing unless we get X, Y, and Z, which to me is just an awful look because they're under contract. He is as well. But in Major League Baseball, you do not renegotiate deals midway through, right? Your deal's guaranteed. In the NFL, your deal's not guaranteed, and it's commonplace for guys to do this. I mean, you saw it with Earl Thomas. You saw it with Ezekiel Elliott. One lost. All right, Thomas came back. Nothing moved. Elliott came back and was the highest paid running back in all football. So it just depends where we fall, which side of the fence we fall on here. Let's go to Marv in the Bronx. Marv, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, D.L., what's up? How you doing this morning?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right.
First of all, my prayers go out to Patrick Ewing. He's been a part of my life since his days at Georgetown. And I want to make sure all you guys are right because you guys are an important part of my life, especially on the weekends. You, Ty, and Tyrese and I developing a rivalry because he's a Rutgers man, and I'm a Fairleigh Dickinson grad in graduate school.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, so we having this little thing going
you
on.
You got rivalries all over the place, Marv. But,
hey, man, I'm a military man. I'm into
those away. Can we move those to the side on Memorial Day weekend, though?
Yo, I'm a military guy. We're about confrontation. Yeah, I spent 11 months in combat, so my wife would tell you I'm all about confrontation.
All right,
but I don't have it with you. I have admiration for you.
Have at it. Go after whoever you want then.
Yeah, look, my prayers go, but it's a bad look for Mr. Adams for the Jets because, first of all, I work for the MTA. We've lost 100 people. Shout out to my job, on my job, and people are losing their jobs. I understand that, but I know you say he hasn't made it public, but it's leaked out, but it's still a more gentlemanly way he can do this and handle this, right?
Well, understand? I think, Marv, I think he probably feels like he's, you know, been wronged here, that he's been the best safety in the NFL, and he's given you 3 years of work at reasonable number, and he now wants to get paid.
Can I say something else, Dave?
Of course.
I want to thank you for being there for the audience in this area because through this thing, it's been a painful experience, and I've never experienced anything in my 65 years on this planet, anything like this. Even I thought combat was the worst thing I would experience. But you and the people at the station have been really pivotal and a linchpin to keeping making things better. And when this thing is over, I hope you guys are complimenting, giving all the accolades you deserve because you've been there for us.
Well, I greatly appreciate the kind words. I hope you have a safe and wonderful Memorial Day weekend, holiday weekend. And you hear that, Ty? That I deserve to be greatly appreciated and recognized during this pandemic?
Well, I think you might have misquoted our good friend Marvin. He didn't say just you. He said the entirety of the station. But knowing you and your infinite wisdom, you're going to, you know, sulk in all the glory
yourself.
Well, no,
that's fine, too. I mean, let the other guys have their moment in the sun. But, I mean, I was talking to him. The beautiful words came through my show.
You were just a conduit. That's all.
I'm the conduit, so I think that I should get some accolades here.
Dave.
And I was involved. He did say, Dave, you as well.
You know what you shouldn't do after receiving, even if that's true. Let's just pretend he said Dave Rothenberg. He didn't mention the station at all.
Right.
Even if that is true, the one thing you should not do after receiving a compliment is after that, compliment yourself.
That's probably fair. But you know what I will say, and obviously I'm kidding, but in all sincerity, I can't tell you, and honestly, I don't know how or why, but I guess it does. How many people have reached out saying, you have no idea how important it is what you and the station do for us? I think, well, what do? I guess what we really do, Ty, is give this tremendous sense of normalcy to people of it's okay to laugh a little bit. It's okay to cry a little bit. It's okay to be angry that Jamal Adams wants an extension after 3 years. It's okay to be concerned about Danny Dimes and the fumbling issues. Like, I don't exactly know how because I'm so entrenched in it. I can't really see it, but it does feel, and I've had a lot of people reach out via text and tweet an email of how much what we do on a daily basis really uplifts people. And we've had, I can't say we've had people that are frontline, like medical workers, doctors, nurses, MTA, that say what we do on this station makes a huge difference. So humbly and sincerely, I think that's great. And I thank everyone that feels like that. And I mean that sincerely. 800-919-3776. So let's roll along with Jamal Adams. Let's get to this golf thing. So it's 5 hours tomorrow. Are you in? Are you out? Are you peaking? Like, where is your level of interest in Tiger, Phil, Tom, and Peyton? Because mind you, that's 3-8. And I'll be honest with you, Ty. And you know I'm always honest with you, sometimes to a fault. I'm more excited for the Lance Armstrong documentary 9-11 than I am for the golf 3-8. I don't know if you feel the same.
But
800-919-3776. You do, don't you?
I understand, and I guess we'll get into it later. I understand why you're saying that. I don't know if I necessarily agree, but I would understand your thinking.
It's rational thinking.
No, because
I love the documentaries that ESPN.
And I was just going to say, like, the documentaries are more informative, whereas like this is an exhibition game. While yes, it's sports, it's not really the sports we know.
This is actually sports, and that's what, you know, makes it somewhat exciting. But I don't know, to see the ins and outs of Lance Armstrong and, you know, the great athlete he was, and then just how distasteful what he did was as well. I'm looking forward to that.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
NHLPA statement on return to play format, just coming across Twitter, at least I'm just seeing it, so let me read it to you. The executive board, thank you for that, the executive board of the NHLPA has authorized further negotiations with the NHL on a 24-team return to play format to determine the winner of the 2020 Stanley Cup. Several details remain to be negotiated, and an agreement on the format would still be subject to the parties reaching agreement on all issues relevant to resuming play. So step one, we move past. There's no way that they're going to have an issue with 24 teams. What's your issue going to be? What you think that's going to stand in the way? No, they're going to get it done like they should. NHL doing the right thing. NBA will do the right thing. And that, I think, is what would annoy so many people about Major League Baseball, is that the hockey player is going to do what, you know, safely and responsibly probably should be done. And baseball players are going to fight tooth and nail. And the problem now is you have former star players coming out saying, like, this is ridiculous. Like, Tom Glavine has come out and said it's a bad look for the player. Chipper Jones, this is a bad look for the player. And it's a bad look for the player. If you're Blake Snell and you come out and say, look, I'm just concerned health-wise, and I've got a wife and two young kids, and health-wise has me worried, and you don't play, I don't think anybody bats an eye at that. But if you come out and say, well, it's the financial impact, and they promised me this, and now it's going to be this, sorry. I mean, it's a bad look. If Major League Baseball, for one way or another, can't get done and can't play, and I mean this sincerely, I don't know that the sport ever recovers. Can you imagine that? People are locked at home, desperate, on unemployment. The unemployment level is the highest it's been in God knows how long. We haven't seen anything like this since 2008 and probably before that. We're talking about it being as bad as, you know, the Great Depression in the late 20s. And you might have baseball players and owners that can't figure out a way to split millions and millions of dollars. Be a bad look, an awful look. And if other sports get it done, could you imagine if hockey goes on, basketball goes on, football, of course, will go on, and baseball doesn't? I got to be honest with you. If that happened, it would take me years to go back to a baseball game. I'm going to watch it for multiple reasons. First of all, I'm addicted to it. I love it. Second of all, it's my job. So I'm not going to lie to you and say, I'll never watch it again. You might. I wouldn't. But it would be damage that was long-lasting if it didn't come back because of finances. If it can't come back, it can't come back. Right? Like, if they just say, look, it doesn't make sense, it's too dangerous, we don't have enough testing, and guys willing to leave their families. I understand that. I mean, it's a scary time. It's a scary world. And I understand the concern that goes on with everyone who has to risk their lives and their well-being. But if it's a financial issue, I think people would be horrified by that, to be honest. Horrified. All right. 800-919-3776. I want to get to the calls. We will in a second, but, and this is not easy for me and this whole thing. And I'm being sincere. It has not been easy for me. But there is this debate. Now, Ty, did you start this debate? Is this you that started this on the station? Who started this Jordan Brady debate?
On the station, I believe it was started by Chris Carlin.
Chris Carlin.
And I want to say maybe it was Wednesday night he began this conversation.
So this is Carlin's baby. I did not hear what Carlin said about it. I don't even know Carlin's take about it. But I'm going to give you mine, and then you can tell me what he and others said about this. And the debate was, let me see if I have it right. Who is the greatest player, Brady or Michael Jordan? Is that correct?
Yes.
This is such an easy question. Like, I can't even believe that this is something that's being thrown out there. And again, from anyone to discuss it, it's harder for no one but me. I swear to you. Michael Jordan was dominant. Michael Jordan dominated at such a high level. If I said to you, greatest winner in basketball, greatest player in basketball, you know, 9 out of 10 people are going to say, you might get the occasional Kareem. You might get Bill Russell thrown in there. You're going to get the occasional LeBron. But for the most part, the answer is Michael. I mean, Michael was iconic. Michael changed the game. And I swear, this is so difficult for me to do because I detested Michael Jordan. I wouldn't have Gatorade. I wouldn't wear Hanes. I didn't wear his sneakers. None of it. I mean, he tortured me forever. And Brady is great and unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer, but it's not comparable, guys. To compare Michael and Brady, it's not. If I said to you, Joe Montana's better than Tom Brady, I don't know that a lot of people agree, but it's not crazy. There have been other quarterbacks who have been at the level. Maybe they haven't won the same. But there have been other quarterbacks that have been at the level of Tom Brady. You're hard-pressed to find any player in the NBA that's been at the level of Michael Jordan that has just transformed an organization is what he did. And I'm not saying it was all. And look, I think that Michael needs help. Every professional athlete that's in a team sport needs help. So this thought of, you know, Pippen wasn't a huge factor. He was, and Grant and Rodman and all those guys were. But for the life of me, I don't understand how you could say that Tom Brady was better than Michael, or even at the equivalent of what Michael was. Michael was on a completely different level than probably everyone. I will actually tell you this. I would say LeBron is closer to Michael than Brady is to Michael. In going from sport to sport, from football to basketball. All right, so Ty, now you can inform me. What was the take of Carlin and others at the station?
So I regret to inform you, I don't know what his take was.
Wait,
but no,
you
listen,
heard him do it.
No, I didn't.
I'm assuming
hear him.
You weren't producing that show.
I did not hear him do the take. I just saw it in an email, and
I got you.
He tweeted about it. But the assumption is, because I think there is a case to be made for both, what I'm going to assume is he said Brady is better. Longevity matters, especially in a sport that is designed to prevent you from winning in bulk, right? Like
I don't
the
think
NFL.
You can assume that was his take, unless you read that in an email.
Well, the only case that could be made for Brady is he did it for longer in a sport that's designed to prevent you from winning in bulk the
for
way.
Longer, Michael was great he came up in 84 and he won the championship in 98.
He played 13 years. Brady is still doing it.
Well,
Brady
he played
is too
more than that, but he was Michael Jordan, you know, the first incarnation for 13 years, yes.
Yes, and Brady's still doing it now over the course of 20 years, over two decades. And like I said, it's harder to win. It's harder to win. No, I don't agree, but I'm just
trying
to.
You agree with my take?
Yes. It's harder to do it in football, though. It's a sport that's designed to prevent you from winning at the level that the Patriots did because
of
the salary cap.
And I agree with you. Honestly, I can't believe I'm defending this, but Tom Brady, if you remember, the first Super Bowl they won,
yeah,
and he made play. He was not great.
He was not.
It took Tom Brady years to become that dominant quarterback, and even the last Super Bowl they won, Tom Brady was not great. They won that game because the defense was so good. So I take nothing away from Brady. If you want to say he's the greatest quarterback of all time, you could say he's the greatest quarterback of all time. But to say he's better than Michael, I'm going to be honest with you. And people might say, well, this is Rothenberg because he's such an apologist with it. And I don't think it's true because I'm telling you what I think about Jordan. I think Lawrence Taylor was a more dominant player than Tom Brady.
But Dave, just to push back on something you just said, there is an argument that though Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player ever, he's not the most accomplished. Like Bill Russell in his dominance.
If you're going solely by titles, then yes, it's Bill Russell.
But not just titles, right? Kareem had six titles, regular season MVPs. He's the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. You could argue both Russell and Kareem are more accomplished than Jordan.
But here's my question for you. Did they dominate the way that Michael did? Michael dominated.
I mean, it depends on what you would define as dominating.
Kareem was winning titles, and again, Kareem is great. And you could even argue that early Kareem was better than Michael.
Yes.
But
then he teamed
Kareem
up with Magic.
Kareem was not the best player on those last couple of Lakers teams that were winning championships.
It was Magic. Correct.
I mean, it was a great team, and you could argue the third or fourth piece on those teams. I mean, James Worthy was great. Magic was clearly the leader of those teams. So I don't know. For me, it's MJ. MJ over all. Now, you want to say Gretzky was better than all of them? I mean, statistically, he was. But then it comes down to, well, Gretzky never won outside Edmonton. And never won outside of having Messier. And you look at those unbelievable teams in Edmonton. So, I mean, it's certainly worthy of debate. I don't think it's that close.
I think that you just said something a little while ago that I find fascinating. You said that there are people who could debate who the greatest quarterback of all time is with Joe Montana, but that's not the case in basketball. I mean, there are so many people who would contend LeBron is better than Jordan.
No, I don't think yet.
You don't think so? I mean, ESPN just put out a poll.
I wish I could argue the other side because it's not the take I want to have. But no, to say LeBron is better than Michael, I don't agree.
I don't agree with it either. I'm saying there are people who do, though. Just like they would make the case Montana is better than Brady, there are some out there, and I think in large portions, who would make the case that LeBron's better than MJ.
Listen, it's worthy of discussion. 800-919-3776. To me, if you had to write, here's the thing. All the greats. It's Michael, it's Gretzky. Young Kareem is up there, and he had the longevity, but again, he wasn't the best player. And again, you know what you have to do? You have to define what makes greatness for you. Is it titles? Is it dominance? Is it length of greatness? Right? I mean, Brady's been doing it for 20 years. So I don't know. I guess that's what you have to bring to the table. What defines it for you, and then go from there.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I mean, Ty, you've gone on record, and you're a big star now, by saying it's the number one segment in all of ESPN radio.
I think it is, but closely approaching Stump Rothenberg, I will say I am in love with Don's list that he does.
Really, you love it?
I'm a big list guy. That's my wheelhouse. I love lists.
And Don is so good.
Oh, he's great. I do take issue with him putting Kobe and Shaq as the fifth best tandem in NBA history, but that's neither here nor there. The list
was that this week? I didn't hear all the lists this week.
That was, I want to say it was Tuesday, because I'm typically able to catch it when I'm driving into the station here on Tuesdays. So that was the Tuesday list.
So but, what do you do, greatest duos of all time?
Yeah, and it's, you know.
Was it surrounding Michael and Scottie?
Yes.
Is that the genesis of it?
Yes.
Do you remember that list?
He had Michael and Scottie as number one.
Number one?
Yes, he had Duncan and Parker at four, I believe. Shaq and Kobe at five. I'm trying to remember this. Kareem and Magic, I want to say, was three. And I don't remember the other one that he had.
You got to have some old Celtics on that list. And I don't even mean 80s Celtics. I mean back in the day.
Yeah, but it's tough. Like, who are the two? You'll go Russell and what? Who would you go?
Kuzi? Havlicek? I don't know.
It's hard because with the Celtics, you got to almost start with a trio. It's hard to just
so
like
you were offended though. Is that the bottom line here? That yes. Shaq and Kobe were five, and you yes. felt something about that
because they can't be behind Duncan and Parker. They can't be behind Duncan. I think Shaq and Kobe are closer to being number one than they are being five.
I mean, it's not like Don is polling thousands of people. He wakes up in the morning and puts the list together.
Yeah, but I just felt like Shaq and Kobe had to be higher. As I said, they're closer to number one than they
have
are five.
Have you written a complaint to Don?
I have not.
Are you close enough to Don that you could text him and express your displeasure?
See, that's the thing. I think that Don and I are, you know, we have a pretty cordial relationship. I don't
well,
know if
cordial is not pandemic-worthy texting, though.
I don't know that I'm comfortable enough texting Don that without it feeling like I'm kind of stepping out of the line.
Mm-hmm. Now, so. I will tell you, of all the people on air talent that works at the station, probably the most approachable would be Don.
And I get that.
So I think you could even caveat this thing and say, listen, of course, I don't want to overstep, but I just wanted to throw this out there to you. I think Kobe Shaq should have been higher.
And
I
then
that'd be okay.
It would probably be like, what the hell do I care what you think?
He might.
He's busy. You know, he's got 4 hours of radio. He's got the twins. You know, a lot going on in the Don
Draco
household.
He loves debate.
And I love Don. Like, we've worked together. He's,
well, it doesn't
he's,
sound like
he's,
you do.
He's been, no, I love Don. That's what I'm expressing. I love Don. I would feel like I'm being disrespectful to him by sending that text.
Yeah, I don't know that. You love him the way you
do. No, I do. He's an amazing human being. I've worked with him. I'm not sucking up to him. I think he's one of the nicest people here. By the way, before you sent out the tweet that you did last week giving me a shout out, when I first got here, Don sent that tweet out. Follow Ty. He's great. He's an aspiring sports journalist, broadcaster. Give him a follow. He's a great guy.
You've got a very bright future, by the way. We got to get you a show on 98.7. That's my goal.
One day.
One day in the not so distant future. All right, let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Dave and Roselle. Dave, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, fellas? What's going on, Ty? You definitely do deserve a show too.
All right, Dave. Here's the thing. Here we love Ty. But when you call the show, you don't address Ty prior to addressing me. So hey, Dave. Also love Ty.
Definitely Rothenberg. I love your show as well. And on the weekends, you got the best show, buddy.
Definitely. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you. You're very intelligent with Stump Rothenberg.
Thank you very much. All right, now that we have the pleasantries out of the way, Dave, what do you got?
I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't want these gentlemen to get mad at me. We've got to stop comparing LeBron to Jordan. It's just not there. The only person we can compare to Jordan is Kobe. Let's just be honest here. I'm going to be quick.
Now, I don't know. I don't think that's right, Dave. Now, unless you're saying that, you know, matter of position matters, you don't think that Kareem can be compared to Michael?
Oh, no, definitely. I agree there. I'm just saying, like, as far as LeBron with the Jordan thing, like, I kind of want people to stop with it because they're just not on the same, they're not on the same planet.
I don't think it's that far off. I would still say Michael, but I don't think they're separated by eons. I don't think it's that far. And I will say this, and you will shudder and you will be angry, and so will Ty because he's a big Kobe guy. LeBron is better than Kobe. LeBron is better than Kobe.
I felt that way at one point, but I look at it like this, and I'm not just a person that's like, oh, yo, Kobe has five when it comes to hardware. The reason that I say that Kobe's better than LeBron and that LeBron should be scaled back, like, on the bubble of the top five is because, yes, hardware plays a point, but this is it right here. Kobe and Jordan are assassins. They played no games when it was time for the finals or it was playoff time. Like, these guys' demeanors were just out the window. Like, they gave you serious...
You make it sound like LeBron James turns into David Lee in the postseason. The guy's one of the great, most clutch players we've ever seen. Has he had bad moments? He has, but he's unbelievable.
I agree with you, and I would say, if you haven't seen LeBron James play in real life, you haven't seen basketball.
LeBron is sensational.
I'm not going against him.
He's sensational. And Dave, thanks for the phone call. He's sensational. And I don't understand why. Here's what I don't understand. Why, when we promote Kobe or Michael or LeBron, do we need to find issues with the other guy? Well, if you look back at the series against the Mavericks, he wasn't very good, or the Celtics. And it's true. I mean, there are moments when he wasn't very good. But there's a lot more moments when he's been sensational. I mean, look at the series. Why do you think The Last Dance came out? The Last Dance was Michael's response to the dominance of LeBron. and the fact that he beat a team that had the greatest record in the history of basketball and didn't come back from down 3-1 on the road for two of those games. Nick in Queens. Nicky, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. First of all, great being on. Dave, how are you?
Oh, there you go, Nick. See, you get it. You get it. I'm good.
See, I think ESPN did a great job hiring Kyrie and Ty. My main point is on Brady and Jordan, but I want to say the difference between Kobe and LeBron is Kobe takes the shot, right? And he would have never let Dallas happen. He would have been like, wow.
Maybe not, but Kobe's without argument, a more natural scorer and a better scorer and a better big shot maker than LeBron James. I'm not going to argue that.
Right. And with Michael and Brady, it's different, right? The only way Brady can score by himself is at the one with the touchdown sneak, right? So he needs a Gronk. He needs Edelman. Jordan had big guys, but he could score by himself. And not only did, of course, Jordan had the three-peats, and Brady only had a two-peat. You know, that's not major, right? But
you don't three-peat in the NFL. It's not something that even happens.
Right. And it's the length, 20 years. The one time he was off the shelf, the Patriots don't go to the playoffs. And
hang on a second. How many games did they win that year that he was on the shelf?
11-5.
Yeah, all right. So let's slow it down a little bit, no?
Right, but also I will say it's always the players, right? Bill Belichick, right, this whole entire season can have the best game plan, right? And most likely they're gonna go 6-10. Or 5-11, and I'm a huge Patriots fan, so I hope I'm wrong. But the majority of
they're not going to go 5-11, Nick.
I mean, look at their schedule, right? The hardest.
I don't need to look at their schedule. They're not going 5-11.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but they'll win games because of their.
Hope I'm wrong.
No. I hope I'm wrong.
Right,
but they have a great defense, so that's where the majority of their wins will come from.
They have a great defense. They still have a good running attack, and they have unknown a quarterback. So with that coach, that defense, that running game, you're going to say they're going to go 5-11? Mm-mm.
What do you think their record will be?
I don't know. 8-8-ish. I wouldn't be surprised if they went 10-6. I wouldn't be surprised if they went 8-8.
Well, I definitely hope you're right.
Well, I appreciate the phone call. They're not going 5-11. They're not. I mean, they could win four games in the division. You don't think at a minimum New England's going to go 3-3 in the division? You don't think they get at least one against Miami, at least one against the Jets? At least. Steve in Jersey. Steve, you're next up on 98.7.
Yo, Ty, the difference between you
No. I don't like the way this is transpiring now. I don't like it one bit, Steve. I open the door to my home to you and you yell like, Sherry, so nice to be here. No, I open the door, you address me.
All right, so Dave, what gives, man? I was going to give you props yesterday and you left me on hold the entire show. The entire show.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah, well, you went through that Andy's question so impressively. I was going to give you props for that and then also talk Ranger hockey.
Well, Steve, the floor is yours today. It's a Saturday morning. You got a big listening audience. I've welcomed you in. Have at it.
All right. Let's go. So who goes further with this new format idea? The Rangers or the Islanders? And what pieces do the Rangers need to have in place for goalie and
I think Shesterkin's going to be your goalie. I would be surprised if he wasn't. So it would be what, Rangers, Carolina, Islanders, Panthers? Is that the matchup?
That's what they're saying right now.
Yeah, I think that'd be the matchup. I think it'd be 6-11, 7-10. I don't know. I mean, you know what's going to happen, Steven? Too? Thanks for the phone call. I think you're going to have a lot of surprises. Because this is going to be, a lot of this is going to be mental now. You're going to be locked down in Vegas or God knows where or somewhere in Canada or wherever it happens to be. This is going to be different. This is going to be very different than you've ever seen. This is not a traditional postseason. This is, you've been locked away for months. You're now leaving your family. This is a different animal than we've ever seen before. So I don't think it's just going to be what team, and hockey especially, because hockey is uncertain to begin with in the postseason. And I think every postseason will be underdog-centric more than you typically see. Because I think things are off the rails right now.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
I mean, we'll see. It's typically not all that possible. Now, Ty, you're not with me right now. You're in the studio. I'm at my home studio. I'm gonna roll up my sleeves.
Wow.
I'm in the process of rolling. So now, I mean, I've never been more prepared for Stump Rothenberg. Sleeves rolled up. Good mental spot right now. Questions are ready. And of course, Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great, talented, award-winning Andrew M. Cohen. All right, how you feeling today, Ty? You feeling anxious?
I was nervous last segment. A lot of pressure though. Memorial Day weekend,
right?
You got to give the people a treat. So let's
serious
do it.
Serious question for you. I'm going to ask you an honest to goodness question.
Okay.
Do you think that the masses prefer I succeed or fail on this segment?
That is an interesting one, because I do think there's entertainment in both. I think they prefer, I'm just going to go based on that one caller who said, I'm going to help you get back on track.
Right.
It was ridiculous. So I think that they prefer you to
succeed.
That's
a beautiful question, if memory serves correctly.
It was ridiculous. I think they prefer that you succeed.
Succeed?
Yes.
You prefer I fail?
No, I just care about the entertainment value.
So if I do go 12-0, but it's not entertaining,
yeah,
you don't want it. 4-8, tremendously entertaining, you want it.
Absolutely.
All right, let's entertain. Sean Stamford, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Ty. Hey, David, how's it going?
Oh, very cute, very cute. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, I have two questions I can go with here. Now, I got Canadian geography, and I got a film question. Which would you like?
I'll go film.
Okay, what is the name of the pimp in Taxi Driver?
Okay, I'm going to get this. I thought you were going to ask Now, it's played by Harvey Keitel, right? Yes. What's his name? Now, Travis Bickle is the main character. That's De Niro's character. Is it? Oh, God. I thought you were going to ask for Guido, the killer pimp in Risky Business. Is it? I'm thinking Winston Wolfe, but now I'm not sure. I think it is. I think it's Winston Wolfe.
No, it's not. It's Sport.
Sport.
Very important for a show like this.
Huh. All right, we're gonna get to the Google on our own with this. And you'll have to confirm that that's in fact accurate, Ty. Because I always thought his name was Winston Watt. Sport, I have no recollection of.
0-1, buddy.
I don't know that's accurate.
We'll get the research team on it.
Yeah, get the crack staff on that, would you? All right, for now, we're 0-1. Let's go to Jake in Caldwell. Jake, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, I'm still waiting to be first, man. I've never been first.
All right, well, you know what? Second is not too bad.
No, it's not. All right. So I usually hit you with the hard baseball questions.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go football today.
All right, difficult? Or what level would you say we're at here?
I'm a Jets fan, so it's not difficult for me, but you're a Giants fan, so who knows?
Right.
What is the name of the Lions cornerback that picked off Sam Darnold's first pass for a touchdown?
Oh. And I remember the play. He threw it way across field. It was a terrible play, and they still came back to crush in that game. All right. I don't know. I don't think I know it. I mean, who are the cornerbacks on that team? It wasn't Slay. It definitely was not Slay. The only other one I know is Quandre Diggs, but I don't know if that's the answer. I'll guess Diggs, but I have no confidence in that.
Quandre Diggs is correct.
Oh! Quandre Diggs is correct. All right, that was somewhat guessing. Somewhat guessing. All right, getting tweets, by the way, say Winston Wolfe was Pulp Fiction. So I guess I was wrong with that. So that brings us to 1-1. All right, let's move along. Let's go to Kathy, who I believe I got the best of last week. Kathy, you're welcome back on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, I have to clap back at you guys for one moment here. Because you questioned my Mets fandom when I told you
said you were born a Yankees fan.
I was born a Yankees fan.
So I'll still question it, Kathy. Listen. I adore you. You're one of my favorites, but I question your fandom and your allegiance to the Mets.
Well, you should be applauding me for breaking free from the evil empire at 14.
Why
I've
would you break
Mets
free?
I've been a Mets fan for 40 years, Dave. I drive a car with a Mets license. I have a Mets shrine in my living room. I am known as Mrs. Met to my friends. So I have to say I was a little bit hurt afterwards.
Well, listen, you know the way I feel about you, Kathy. The last thing I was intending to do was to pain you and to hurt you.
Yes.
But
I despise the Yankees, Dave. I really do.
I don't understand. Sure. Listen, it's a conversation for another. We'll do a show on this another day. But now.
I will put it up to other callers. But just think of your own son, Ben, at the innocent age of 13. You can't hold it against him.
If Ben came home next week and said, "Dad, I've decided to be a Niners fan," Ben could find another family to quarantine with. Kathy,
well,
the floor is yours.
Fortunately, my mother still loves me, Dave. So,
well, I love you, Kathy. The floor is yours.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So here's your question. In July of 86, in Houston, four Mets players were arrested in a bar fight. One of them was Tim Tessel. Can you name one of the other three?
That was a big story.
It was a big story.
Yeah. I think Bobby Ojeda was involved in that as well.
That's right. I'll take that.
Pushes us, nudges us to 2-1. Mind you, Ty, I think it was you that were really aggressively anti-Kathy last week.
Listen, I wouldn't say it was aggressive.
It was aggressive.
Listen, you can't say you were a fan of a team and now you despise them.
I agree with you. I just
terrible
verbally berated her. Sal and Duchess. Sal, you're next up on Stump.
Good morning, guys. And Dave, please don't get rid of your producers. They're both great. I
don't understand the love affair with these guys. They're fine. They do yeoman's work. They're fine.
Hey, we could replace that. Don't replace them. Kyrie and Ty are good people.
All right. Go ahead, Sal.
Just for the future, Ty, if you could give Dave a break.
Oh, my God, Sal. You got to get to the question.
Uncle. Okay. Just you could get one clue because some questions are hard. In a few good men. Okay, and a few good men.
Okay.
The judge.
Go ahead, and a few good men.
What was the name of the judge? In the movie,
I understand.
And he had three names. That's why I was telling Ty to give you a little break on some of them. Some of them are hard. They only said it one time.
No, I think it was Randolph, right?
That was one of the names. That was the last one. That was his last name.
So then I get it correct. That's 3-1. I don't like the way they're calling and sucking up to you, though. Both of you guys. It's very, very unpleasant. That's 3-1. Continue. Let's go to Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Baseball, Dave.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
How difficult? Is this a very difficult question?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Tom Brady is one of two Montreal Expo draft picks still active. Who is the other?
Wow. Tom Brady was drafted by the Expos?
95 as a catcher, 17th round, yep.
This is a good question. Boy. Now, do we don't consider Bartolo Colon to be active, right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you this hint. This guy was, like I said, drafted by the Expos. Doesn't mean he has to have played for the Expos.
So has... All right. And he's still active. So this guy's well into his 40s. I don't know. Brandon Phillips not still active.
No, but he was a former Expo draft pick, but not him.
Yeah. Is he? I don't even know. I don't think I know this one. No, I don't know.
Ian Desmond.
All right. I didn't get it right. Yeah. Again, I'd like to go to the Google on that. But I don't think Ian Desmond was that old. But okay, we'll look that up as well. Let's go to Jim in Maplewood. Jim, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Hey, Jim.
Who's the only player in NFL history to lead the league in total yards from scrimmage for 4 consecutive years?
Hmm. 4 straight years, huh? So this is all-purpose yards.
It's the yards from scrimmage, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to guess Thurman Thomas.
You got it.
He was great. See, guys like Ty, I was actually thinking about this. This is kind of a pathetic admission. What are we, 5-2? Are we 5-2, Ty? 4-2? Where are we?
We're 4-2.
4-2. I was lying in bed the other night, and I couldn't sleep. And I started thinking about the Giants Super Bowl win in 90. And it saddened me, and I don't know why, that the Bills never get the credit that they deserve. That was a great foot. Like, the Bills in 90, Ty, were a great football team. To the point that I don't even think you appreciate how good they were. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame running back, Hall of Fame wide receiver. I mean, Andre Reed was great. I mean, Hall of Fame defensive end, Bruce Smith. Cornelius Bennett. I mean, they were a terrific football team. Now, I'm glad they lost. But I don't think that Giants Super Bowl gets the credit it deserves either. Let's go to Jatine in Staten Island. Jatine, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how you doing, sir? How's everything?
Good.
All right. I have a tennis question for you.
Tennis? I don't think we've ever... I gotta be honest. I don't think we've ever had a tennis question.
All right. From 2000 to 2010, men's Wimbledon championship were ruled predominantly by two guys, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. Besides these two, there's only been 3 other men to win the championships there in this time frame. Just name one of those 3.
So between what years?
From 2000, including 2000.
Well, Leighton Hewitt won it.
You got it. Yeah. All right.
Ivanisevic won it the year prior, and I believe Ivanisevic won it on a Monday when it was postponed.
That
on
is
Sunday.
Correct. That was the
yes.
best one ever.
Yeah. Yes, that's the best one ever. Ty, how impressed are you with that one?
He could have posed that question to me in a different language. I would have no idea the answers to those, because I would guess Nadal and Federer.
But, right, well, those were the obvious ones.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, my knowledge of tennis is just so
it needs to
so
increase.
Light.
It needs to increase. In
5-2, though. Let's focus on the positives.
That's good. All right, Chris and Bethpage, he's always a worthy opponent. Chris, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the accolade. And I would like to say that I think of all the people that have called your show in the last 2.5 years, I think I'm on the Mount Rushmore. And
oh,
I
come
think
on,
I'm
Chris.
Linked.
Come on. I give you
right,
credit.
Right.
I say you're such a worthy opponent,
know,
and then
I
you
got to
sit
right.
here and fan
right.
yourself by
like
I'm the greatest. Come on.
You're right. You're right.
You're better
right.
than that.
You're right. Okay.
You know what, Ty?
Well,
put him back on hold. Put him back on hold.
No.
Yeah, no, back on hold. You agree or you think that's mean what I just did?
I think it's fair because back-to-back weeks he came in trying to troll me about my John Starks trivia question. So I think that's
so
fair.
You have a personal vendetta.
Yes.
I mean, and I said to him, I said, Chris, who's a worthy opponent. I mean, I gave him tremendous props, and then he calls up and he's like, I gotta tell you, I should be on the Mount Rushmore.
But he learns that from the teacher because it's the same behavior you exhibit. Oh, am I on your Mount Rushmore of talk show? He learns it from his teacher.
Stop it. Stop it. Darlene in Connecticut. Darlene, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay. In the 1957 film 12 Angry Men.
Uh-huh. Love that movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Then you know one of the... Give me one of the 12 jurors.
One of the 12 jurors?
Yes.
Well, I mean, Henry Fonda.
There you go.
Oh, my. Martin Balsam, Lee J. Cobb, Jack Klugman.
You know all of them.
Oh, not all of them. But enough. Oh, that was a beautiful question. Ty, would you have been able to get that?
I would not have been able to
get
that.
Have you ever seen 12 Angry Men?
I've never seen that movie. I'm looking at it now.
It's a great movie. I believe filmed in only one room.
Is that so?
The whole movie, one room.
So it dropped in April of 1957. That's right in my wheelhouse.
It is a great movie.
Right in my wheelhouse.
Would you do me a favor? What, you say in April of 57?
Yes.
Would
like
you do
movies
me a favor?
That came
you
out.
Have time on your hands. Everybody does, right?
No, I really don't. I'm still working a lot.
Would you make me a promise that you'll watch that movie by next Saturday show?
Well, see, the last time we did this, you didn't
it
keep
didn't
your...
It didn't pan out.
Yeah,
I agree.
I watched my movie. You didn't watch the movie. Do you remember the movie I told you to watch?
No, I have no recollection.
The Temptations? One of the all-time great music groups of all time?
You're digressing from where I'm trying to go. I want to talk about 12 Angry Men, which is a great movie. Would you watch that by next Saturday?
I will.
It's an all-time classic movie.
I will.
Okay.
Can you watch The Temptations by next Saturday? Talk about one
try.
Of the all-time
I
music
too am
groups.
Very busy, but I will try. Chris and Beth Page. Chris, now we'll see if you've been humbled. You're on Skip Rothenberg.
I stand totally humbled. Okay. Here's the deal. Baseball question, Dave. Mm-hmm. All right. In the history of the game, three players have, in their first nine seasons, hit at least 25 home runs. In their first nine seasons. The last two to do it were Pujols and Strawberry, which I love because I'm a big Darryl guy. Who was the first guy to do it?
Repeat this question for me, please.
All right. In the history of the game, three players started out their first nine seasons hitting 25 or more homers in each of the seasons. The last two to do it were Pujols and Darryl Strawberry. Who was the first guy to do it? Nine straight seasons, minimum of 25 homers.
All right, so it's Strawberry and who? And Pujols?
Pujols are the last two to do it. Who is the first? Only three have ever done it.
Yeah, this is a good question.
I won't comment on that because you humbled me, so I won't comment.
No, I mean,
it's
a nice question.
Okay, I'm looking.
So over 25 home runs first 9 years of his career.
First 9 years, right. 25 or more.
25 home runs, first 9 years of his career, yes?
You got it. Yep.
All right. I'm going to go Hank Aaron.
Dave, you're wrong, but you're so close. You're right there. Who else? Who is Hank Aaron always associated with a teammate?
Hank Aaron?
Who was his Matt famous Aaron? Teammate? No, who was Hank Aaron's famous teammate? Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer?
Yeah, played with Hank Aaron.
Where?
Third base. All-timer.
Brooks Robinson?
Dave, he played with the Braves.
All-timer. Eddie Matthews?
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's a good question.
Okay.
All right, what are we doing here, Ty? Are we going to take a break and come back? You want to finish it off here? You tell me.
Let's take a break.
Take a break.
Let's cool off a little bit. Come back.
Six and three. Well, that's nice. It's a hell of a start. 6-3. We'll come back. We'll finish off Stump Rothenberg. We'll go right into Rich Klein, and it's a beautiful day. I mean, show wise, not weather wise. On 98.7 ESPN.
This Sunday on ESPN.
Who is this kid, Lance Armstrong?
An all new 30 for 30.
Even from an early age, it was full throttle.
From his rise to the top.
I'm not saying I'm going to win every race in the world, but I can try.
To overcoming his greatest challenge.
I was diagnosed with testicular cancer.
After you faced death, was it hard to take EPO?
No.
A 30 for 30 premiere. Lance, part one. Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
6-3. First round. Move to the daily double round here on Stump Rothenberg. Ty, you have not partaken in Stump Rothenberg yet.
I have
you ready
not.
Or would you like to have a
I'm ready.
Or two? Go ahead.
I'm ready, and I think you'll appreciate this one because it's an NBA question.
All right.
And it's a list question. So two for two on my interest. All right. So if we look at the teams that have the most MVP winners, the Boston Celtics are number one, obviously. The Lakers are number two, obviously. But coming in at number three, the Chicago Bulls. But they're tied with what other NBA team? And just to give you a hint, like, we know the Bulls have six MVPs. MJ won five. Derrick Rose won the six. So what other NBA team has six MVP winners? It's not that hard if you actually think about it.
What'd you say?
It says not that hard if you actually think about it.
I'm thinking Bucks, but I'm not ready to go there yet. Thinking Bucks. Could it be Bucks? Could it be Sixers? Could it be Spurs? Those are my three choices. And I know you're not going to tell me if I have it right in those two.
No, because I'm disciplined.
Right. The callers would jump at that, wouldn't they?
Yes, absolutely.
You think you're better than the callers, is what you're saying?
No, I'm just waiting for you to give me the correct answer.
I feel confident I have it right in that. Well, Iverson won the MVP. I think Wilt won three. Malone won the MVP. Now, you did tell me it was six. There was six that did Dr. J win the MVP? Spurs?
That's a pretty good question.
Can you please?
I must say so myself.
I think David Robinson won an MVP. Duncan won the MVP. Multiple MVPs in his career. It's either the Bucks, the Spurs, or the Sixers. I feel confident in that.
Yeah, but we still haven't gotten.
All right, I understand. I'm trying to get into my head.
Hard to do these days.
I'm going to go with the Sixers. I think Dr. J also won the MVP.
Your final answer.
Oh, God, I hate when people do this because now I don't know whether I should rethink it. Final answer.
And do you realize how embarrassing this would be if you got it wrong?
Which means that I'm right. You're trying to sway me off it. Yeah.
All right, so you're right. Wilt won three, AI won one, Dr. J won one, and Moses Malone, by the way, in 83 won the regular season MVP.
Oh, he was unbelievable.
And the finals MVP.
Oh, God, was he good.
Good job,
that
David. 80,
that 83 Sixers team with Andrew Toney and Maurice Cheeks and Dr. J and Bobby Jones, they were terrific. That is what we call a correct answer, yes?
7-3, my friend.
Joe in Massapequa. Joe, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
How you doing, guys? I'm gonna put one in on the right column here. Who holds the major league record for most 100 RBI seasons with less than 10 home runs?
Oh goodness! With less than 10 home runs. All right, so it's gonna be like a Joe Mauer kind of guy. It's not my answer. Paul Molitor, Joe Mauer.
Old timer is the only hint I'll give you.
Really? It's really old time?
Really old.
Is it Joe Cronin?
Like your grandfather watched him play.
I'm going to go Joe Cronin.
Honus Wagner,
okay. All right. My grandfather. I don't know that my grandfather was watching 1800s baseball, but I guess it's possible. All right, so what are we, 7-4, Ty?
I believe that's 8-4.
8-4. You want to wrap up here?
We have to.
We got Rich coming up.
Unfortunately, we have to.
Well, unfortunately, we have to. We'll do it again next week, though, right?
We will. It'll come back.
Every Saturday. And now, during pandemic times, it's really taken a turn where it's a half hour. It's no longer the best segment. It's the best half hour in radio.
Agreed. No argument from me.
All right, Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the Law Offices of Andrew M. Cohen. Whether the issue is simple or complex, the Law Office of one Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through very careful legal planning. Call 516-877-0595 or visit amcohenlaw.com. Something you did not know. Andrew M. Cohen was actually legal counsel on 12 Angry Men back in April of 57. I'm probably not even supposed to divulge this information. The Henry Fonda character tie based on Andrew M. Cohen.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, 516-877-0595 or amcohenlaw.com. Rich Kleiman joins us next, 98.7 ESPN.
This is Bart and Han.
Jamal Adams and the Jets have now reportedly reached an impasse with their contract talks. There are people that have lost their jobs, and you're going to now think that going public about how much you think you're worth before you even do another contract. You think this is the right plan. This is a terrible plan, and he needs to zip it.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn weekdays at 1 on 98.7 ESPN.
Michelle.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.